Okay, hello everyone. My name is Christian Moser. I'm working as a developer and designer for Zülke in Zurich. My French is not so good, so I have to do this talk in English. Today I'm gonna talk about how to design Windows Store apps using Expression Blend. I will do this with an example based on HTML and JavaScript. As Microsoft introduced Windows Store apps almost a year ago at the Build conference, it was not a big surprise that you could use C# Visual Basic and also C++ to write Windows Store apps. C++ because the WinRT platform is native, so it was almost for free. And C# and Visual Basic because it was very popular to write apps before. But the big surprise was, why do they support JavaScript and HTML to write apps, even though JavaScript and HTML is more a web, is a web technology? But there are good reasons to support JavaScript and HTML to write apps. The first is that there is a huge community of non-professional developers who can write apps. Because they're already skilled in writing JavaScript and HTML. So there is, for one professional developer, there are 9 non-professional developers. And HTML, JavaScript, and CSS are proven web technologies, so they're around for, I would say, 15 or 20 years. And the rendering engines, so the browsers, they are very performant and they support many features now. And there is also a ton of libraries and frameworks around, like jQuery, Knockout JS, JS or whatever, which you can use in this new platform to write your apps. So here is a short overview of features that are available from these three technologies that you can use in your apps to write Windows Store apps now. For example, the new layout mechanism of HTML5, like the grid layout or the flexbox, the canvas, all these transitions and animations of CSS3, and also the cool features of JavaScript like WebSockets, drag and drop, or async calls. So finally, a JavaScript-based WinRT application is nothing else than a 100% W3C conform web application. The only thing they added is our new JavaScript functions, and these are the ones that are provided by the Windows RT base library. So they, for you as a developer, they feel just like normal JavaScript functions as they were around forever, but they're just available within Windows Store apps. The second thing they added is a new library called WinJS, and this is like the framework on top of the WinRT. It provides all the controls which are not part of HTML, like the grid view or sliders or so. And it also provides infrastructure to write classes, namespaces, or do animations. And the third thing they added is a special CSS template, which gives your web application, your web page, the modern UI look. So it really looks like a native WinRT or Windows Store application. And finally, it all runs in the context of an IE10 browser, which of course the Chrome and the navigation is hidden. So it looks like a native, you cannot differentiate between a XAML-based or an HTML-based application, but behind the scene it's a normal IE10 that is running. But now when you think, okay, IE10 is more or less the same as if I write a web page or a web application, the technology is the same, but the nature of a Windows Store app is quite different than a regular web page. And the first difference is, if you are in the World Wide Web, then you have to support all kind of target systems, different browsers. You never know what your client is going to use. For a Windows Store app, it's different. There's only IE10. So here you have to think about, how do I support IE6? What about if I use CSS3 functions, HTML5 functions? They were not available on all browsers. So I have to look at fallback implementations or don't use HTML5 at all. But for Windows Store apps, we can use everything that Internet Explorer 10 supports. So we can use the full feature set that is available. We have only one target to support. The other difference is a web page, a classic web page, is more or less static content, many pages. Then web apps like Facebook, they are more dynamic and less pages. And finally, a Windows Store app is a single page application. So it consists of only one page and many dynamic content. So the number of web pages are constantly decreasing, while the amount of dynamic content is constantly increasing. And this is a problem for typical design tools like Expression Web, for example. If you open up a Windows Store app, HTML app in Expression Web, you just see black typically, because all the content is created dynamically at runtime. So this is, for a designer, this is not a good experience. On the other side, if you use Internet Explorer or Firefox or so, the F12 tools of Internet Explorer, then you have this cool dynamic DOM inspector. And it doesn't just show static content, which is loaded at load time of the page. It also shows all the dynamic elements that were created through JavaScript. But the problem is this DOM inspector is not available in the context of a WinRT app. And the other problem is, if you change something here, it's just for the lifetime, so as long as you loaded this page. And if you close it, your changes are gone. So you want to reflect it in the source code. So finally, they took these two ideas. They say, we have Expression Blend, which is fine for, it's a good designer for XAML and C-sharp-based applications. Let's give him an HTML editor. So they took the same concept, just extended it a bit for HTML. And on the other side, they took this idea of the dynamic DOM inspector. They combined it, and they built Expression Blend for Windows Store apps. And the first feature is it has now full CSS and HTML support. It still supports XAML and C-sharp-based application, but on beside, it supports HTML and CSS. And the best feature, I think, is that it executes JavaScript at runtime, at design time. So this means if you open up a project that has an HTML page that has some JavaScript behind that usually creates this dynamic content, it is visible in Blend at design time. And the problem is, at some point of time, you want to click the application and use it, and at some point of time, you want to design it, so select elements, change their size. So you can switch between an interactive mode and a design mode. And this is really cool, because sometimes you have elements which are not visible on the start page. You first have to click on something, and then the elements appears. For example, a dialogue, or you have to start the game, and then the tiles appear or so. And with this design time and design and interactive mode, you can just switch to interactive mode, click the application to the point where you see these elements, switch back to design mode, and start designing. It has also a simulator for modes, orientations, and resolutions. So if you want to design the snap view or the field view or portrait or landscape mode, you can just simulate it in Blend and see how it looks. And as we already know it, it has a seamless integration with Visual Studio, now 2012, which means you can open the same solution in Blend and in Studio even at the same time. But after this introduction, we want to hands-on a bit and build an app. So typically when you start with a project, then first you have to have a good idea. And our idea now is a soundbox. And the soundbox is an application which plays just sound samples when you touch on them. So first you have to create something like wireframes. This is typically done by a designer. The designer makes some sketches and shows how the application should behave and how it should look like. In our example, we have some sample banks where you can switch a set of samples, and if you touch on it, it starts to play. So this is the concept of the application. And then you give this concept to a developer. And the developer is typically not the same person as the designer. So the developer just creates a functional UI. It's not the final style, but it already works as it should. So the developer, he loads the sample from the disk. He shows the drop-down, the volume. And then finally, he wants to give it to the designer. And the designer and the developer, they have some overlap. They have to talk together because some elements are named and some CSS classes are applied at runtime. So the developer has to tell the designer, if you click on a sample, the .playing class is applied. You can use it to style your tile while a sample is playing. So these nodes are passed over to the designer. And first thing the designer will do is he will choose one of the base themes that are included in an HTML Windows Store app. So there is a light theme, which is typically used if you have a lot of text, because it's more natural, like if you look at the white paper with black letters on it. And there is a dark theme, which is good if you have a lot of media, like images or videos, because they look much, much brighter and they stand out more from the background if you have a dark background. It looks a bit more like in the cinema, and this is more like a newspaper. Before we looked at this CSS file, and now we look a bit in detail what it contains. So it defines some styles for the base element, like body, HTML, iframe, that they look without borders, without padding, as they should. And then there are styles for the different text elements, like H1, H2, that they already use the right Segoe font in the correct size, with the correct padding, that it's very easy for you to achieve this Metro. It's not it's not called Metro anymore, but it's modern UI style. Then for the basic HTML controls, it already has some styles applied. So if you add a button or a radio button, it already looks like modern UI. But for the special controls, they are part of this WinJS library. So these are more high-level controls, like the grid view, a slider, a rating control, for example. It also contains styles for that. And this is now the theory part, and now let's practice. So what I have here is Windows 8 with Visual Studio 2012 installed. And together with Visual Studio 2012, you also get Expression Blend for Visual Studio. So I open it, and now I can open the project, which is already in our scenario prepared by a developer. So the function is already implemented. And as you see now, I can directly open a project file, which contains here we see the project explorer, which shows me all the elements as we are familiar from Visual Studio. What you see in the bottom left corner is this live DOM. This is more or less what we have when we press F12 in Internet Explorer. Here we can extend the body, the layout, and now it gets interesting because the sample board, down here you see the original source, or the static part of the source, you see the sample board is empty because the samples are created at runtime. But if I look at the live DOM, I see all the samples. So this view here shows me all the samples. You also see the blue box in the center here. It automatically highlights the dynamic content. So we already see all the samples. This little flash here shows that this element, it's a bit tiny, I'm sorry for that. This element is created at runtime, at design time. On the bottom right, I see the CSS file that is linked to these HTML files, which later contains all the styles. Currently, it's empty, except of some prepared media queries, but I will come back to that later. On the right-hand side, we see the properties of the elements we selected. If I select this H1, the title, for example, I can switch between HTML attributes, so I see all the possible HTML attributes, so nothing is set currently, or I can see the CSS properties, and these are now the final resolved values. So it automatically sees these winning properties, means it checks the CSS inheritance and finally resolves which value is active at this time. I can also see the different levels, the hierarchies that are affected for this element. And I can also create my own one. I show this afterwards. So this is more or less the infrastructure. I can also press F5 and start it to give you a short demo of the functionality. So up to now, it looks a bit classic. Not so fancy, but the functionality, it's all there. So if I click on one sample, I have my drum. I can make it a bit louder. I can also switch the sample bank to another one. That's more or less it. So now we want to give it a bit more Windows 8 look. So first thing I decide is to apply the dark theme because it looks a bit more dramatic. So I switch from this UI light CSS. I hope I can enlarge it a bit. Not really. I switch it to UI dark. So it automatically updates the view as soon as you change something in the CSS file. So next thing I want to do is to use one of these cool new layout features of CSS 3 and HTML5, which is the grid layout. For those who were familiar with XAML, they know the grid panel, and it's more or less the same idea, just implemented in HTML. So let's take the layout panel and give it a different a different layout. So on the right side, I can now choose this small arrow and say, let's create a new CSS style for this ID. And now on the bottom right, we see he created a style for this layout element. I can also switch here to the styles panel and see that it appears here. So I switch the display to MS Grid. Now we have a grid layout, but no columns and no rows applied. So everything is just stacked on top of each other. I also set the height to 100%. For this, I can use this handy filter to filter properties and say the height should be 100%. So the grid panel fills the full area. Now I create some columns. And as you maybe saw it in other sessions before, it really looks the same as you know it from XAML or Visual Studio. So this is my basic layout. I mean, for a real application, you should use the exact values that it fits to the modern UI style, but here it's just more or less the layout. If I click on or if I hover over one of these columns, I have the possibility to give it to set the width. And the width can either be defined in fractions, which is like the star in XAML and C#, or I can give it a fixed pixel width. So I set it to 20 pixels. Same here. Same here. And oh, I can also control Z, go back. So 20 pixels here. Now I want to replace this title, which is not so nice, by a nice logo. So I just remove this H1. And here, if in my Project Explorer, I have already prepared some images. So I have a title PNG, I get this nice preview, and I can just drag and drop it over here. So what I want to do is to set the column span. I first give it an ID, so I can click here and say this is my title. And then I can say, let's create an ID for it. And now in the grid layout, I can say it should span over two columns or three columns. And then we have this, where is it? MS Grid row align, where we can say start. Nine. MS Grid column align, where is it? Here. We set it to start. So next thing is our controls panel, and we want to put it in the second row and the second column. So I also create an ID for and a style for it. You see it on the bottom right how it writes your CSS file while I'm using the designer. And now I say, let's put it into the second column and into the third row. And we want to have a margin of 20 pixels on each side. So now the controls are aligned. And next thing I want to do is to move the sample board. So I also create an ID for it. And say, let's move it to column 4 and to row 3. So it already looks a bit more like the application we expect. Next thing I wanted to do is to give it a bit of fancy background. I already prepared the background image. So I go to my root element, which is the layout background. And now I can choose between just a simple color, or I can create pick a picture. So I say, let's apply the background to it, hopefully. Maybe build it. Yeah. So now it looks already much better. But the samples are still a bit not so nice looking. So here we use another layout panel, which is called the Flexbox. This is, if you're familiar with XAML, this is more or less the wrap panel. So I call it Flexbox. And now you already see it just stacks the sample behind each other. So to design the sample now, we have a problem that they don't have an ID because there are multiple instances of this sample, but they have a special CSS class which is called sample. So what we can do now is here it gives me the option to create a style rule for the class. So now it created not an ID, but a class selector. And you also see with these green arrows, green boxes, how it selects all the instances of it. Also, the elements down here on the right, they appear a bit in green. So you always see if you select if you type in a CSS selector or select it, then you always see which elements are affected by this style rule. And now I give them an absolute relative position. This we use later to align the text within. And I give it a fixed height and width of, let's say, 150 pixels. And the width of 150 pixels. And I want to set a margin of 10 pixels or so. Now the only thing is that we have to set is we have to tell the flexbox that it should wrap the line when they don't fit. So this is the... which is it? This one. Maybe try to compile it. Yeah. So I will give the sample a background now, and then we can run it and see how it looks. So I give it one of these blue backgrounds. One thing I wanted to do is to align the text within the sample on the bottom right. So the problem now is the text within the sample has no CSS class and it has no ID. So we somehow need to address it with a rule. So we can't use this handy tool up here to create a new style, but we can create a style rule manually. So add style rule after, and I say now in the dot sample, it automatically shows me the elements which are found within a sample. I say let's address the span without the within the sample. So now you don't see it very good. I can zoom in a bit. Here it highlights the span within the sample. And Now, as I selected the style rule, I can say, let's put the position to absolute. And the left to 10 pixel, for example, and bottom to 10 pixel. So with this position absolute, we moved it now down to the corner. So let's start the application and see how it looks. So we still have this problem that the wrapping is not applied somehow. But it already looks much nicer. I quickly check if I find it out what it is. Somehow it was not applied before. So now we want to show if we click on an item, we want to show it in a different color. So we have this a special CSS class which is applied when you click on it, and this is the playing. And now let's say if the playing is applied, then it should appear in orange. And now it's a bit hard to see how it looks. So this is the first time where we can use this cool interactive mode. And it's located up here on the right top. So if I click on that, then the controls disappear and I can interact with the application. So now it's fully running except the audio, which is somehow not played. But the JavaScript is executed, the dynamic content is created, and this is very, very useful. For example, when we in the other sound bank, now I do this, I switch it, then we see that we have two empty elements. And they were not visible in the original sound bank. So without this interactive mode, we would not be able to switch here over to the second one. And now I can leave the turn off the interactive mode. And I'm still there where I left. So I still see the second sound bank. Everything is as it was before. And I can continue designing. So what I see now down here is a live view of my DOM, which shows me that currently the class empty is applied to this sample. This is, yeah, it shows really the up-to-date, so live information. And now I can add another CSS class, which is called .empty. And then let's say the background color is gray, for example. And as you see, it's only applied to these two elements. So I switch back to my presentation. So next thing we want to talk about is styling controls. So basic HTML controls or WinJS controls. And this is just standard CSS selectors. They look a bit more advanced, but it's really just W3C standard that we can use the type of element. So input, select, or whatever it is, H1, div. And then with these brackets, we can filter for attribute values. So we say we look for inputs that have an attribute type, which is set to text. So it only selects text boxes. And then with this colon hover, we can say which state do we want to design. And then with this colon, we can dig into parts of the controls. So for example, if we want to design this clear element, we can use the two colons, and then this proprietary extensions MS Clear, which is allowed by the W3C to use proprietary extensions to address or to select only the part of the control. And then we can set the background to red or whatever we want to do. So this is, as we know it from XAML, we have the styles, and then we have the control templates we can override, and they sometimes also includes other control templates, and it's sometimes it's really hard to dig into the, if you want to design a scroll bar, to dig into the arrow or so. And here it's relatively simple to just address it with the CSS selector and select and change one special property. So this is a list of all the parts of the WinJS controls that we can address using CSS selectors. For example, the slider, which is input type range, has an MS fill lower. And with that, we can address the filled part of the slider. The second thing is that we use the infrastructure of media queries, I mentioned them before, to react to the different states. So full screen, filled, snapped, or portrait or landscape, they're just done by using or by applying different media queries to our CSS files. So a media query is like a section that is only active if that condition is true. So in this case, if the MS view state property is snapped, then these two rules apply, otherwise not. And using this technique, we can hide some elements or rearrange some elements in the snapped view. And then the last thing I wanted to demonstrate is the CSS animations, or the basically the animations. So Windows 8 is full of animations. It makes it feel so, they call it fast and fluid. Usually you don't recognize them because they're really small and subtle, but they're very important to make the application feel natural. So CSS3 provides a full standard of a full set of animations, a full animation framework. We can use, because we know that we always have CSS3 available in IE10. But the problem is you don't want to create them all by hand each time, and you want to standardize them. So what they did is they took this WinJS JavaScript library on top of the CSS animation framework, and they provide you some final prepared animations, like here is a list of them, like fade in, fade out, enter content, exit content. If you swipe to select an element or swipe to deselect, you can just call this animation on the element, and it all works like you see it in the built-in Windows 8 functionality. The only thing to remember is we don't do this in CSS, we do it from our JavaScript, so basically from the code behind. So now I want to do this again in Expression Blend. So first thing I'm gonna show is from reverse side is the animations. So here I see my JS folder, which contains all the JavaScript files. And one of it is the default JS. And in here is all the code I wrote for the applications. It's not, I would say, very nice code because I didn't use any libraries. So this is just plain WinRT, JavaScript, and WinJS. Of course, we could use jQuery, Knockout.js, whatever. This would make this code much cleaner and we have less lines of code. So what we see here is more or less we created the JavaScript closure, which is like a namespace more or less. And then we create an instance of the Win.js application, and finally we say app.start. Then we have a callback which is called onActivated, and this is like the startup callback. And what we do is we initialize some, we hook up some events to elements like the bank selector, the volume slider, and then what we do is we open up the samples folder, which is part of our application. We loop, we say get folders async. So this is all WinRT code seen from JavaScript, and then we loop through the folders, and we create an entry in the bank selector. So this is the different sample banks we have. And then once we select the bank, we call load bank, and this gets the folder by name and loops through the files which are in that folder. And then we clean the sample board, and we just apply or we put all the samples in the board, and for that we have this create sample functionality. And the create sample just takes a file and basically creates a diff element, which is the blue tile. It creates an audio element, which is part of HTML5, so an audio tag. It sets the source, and it sets some events handlers that when you tap on them, that it starts playing, and if you take the finger off the tile, it stops playing. This is more or less the code to give you an overview. And now I commented out a few lines here, which play some animations when the samples appear, when they leave. I know when they appear for empty samples, and I have two animations when you click with the finger on it, and when you take the finger off the sample. So I uncomment them. And now if I run the application, you will see that it already looks much smoother than before. So you see that it gets a bit smaller, and then it comes back out. And I don't know if you see it on the screen, but the samples, they fade a bit in from the right. So these are all these small animations that can directly be used in your application. So now, next thing I wanted to do is to support the snap view. So if I move my application now into the snapped mode, you see that it just resizes, but the view is not optimized for snap. So I go back to my view, and now I can use the device panel. And the device panel allows me to simulate the different resolutions and the different orientations and states of an application. So here you see the resolution, the states. You can also say that it's running really on the PC or in a simulator. And now I switch to the snapped mode. So in the designer, we exactly see the application, how it looks when it runs. But on the snapped view, space is really limited, so we want to hide the controls and the title and only show the samples. So to do this, I use now these media queries. And you already see that this media query is highlighted because it's currently active. So one small thing I have to do is I have to move all my styles that are created before the media queries, because they are applied in order there in the CSS file. But nothing else changed. So I go back to my media query and say, okay, let's add a special style rule, which is only active in the snapped view. And I want to apply it to my title. So you see the green box showing that my title is really selected currently. And I set the display attribute to none. So now if I switch back to the original view, the title is visible. And if I go to snap view, it's hidden. So I do the same, I repeat the same thing for the controls. I also want to hide those. And then for the sample board, I want to override the layout properties. So I put the grid column to 1, the grid row to 1, the MS grid column span to what is 4 or so, and the row span to 4. Now the last problem is that the height of the sample is not. Maybe I put some padding as a margin. So now the size of the tile is not. It's not good anymore because we have a fixed height of 115 by 150 pixel. So I create a selector for the sample. And let's say the width should be 100%. And the height should be 50 pixel, for example. So we already have a quite good snap view experience. So if I switch back to full screen mode, then we see that everything is still looks the same because the media query is not active anymore. So now when I run it and try it out, so I take it, snap it, and now we have this this cool snap view. So now I want to summarize a bit what we've seen in this session. So first about JavaScript apps in general. It's good to know that they are just plain HTML5 applications running on IE10. Except some small changes. I think I show it afterwards. And the good thing is that HTML and JavaScript-based applications or web pages, they are already used to run in a sandbox. It's different than on a desktop. Because on a desktop, applications are used to have full access to the file system, to network, whatever. But in the browser, it's already normal that you're sandboxed. So if you want to reuse code from web pages, it's typically easier on JavaScript than HTML because it fits better. So the WinRT functions, they are mapped to JavaScript using a technique called code projection. Which means the API is not just ported one by one, but it's really adopted to the language. So the WinRT API looks slightly different in HTML and in JavaScript than it does in C#. The functionality is 100% the same, but the calls, for example, async await in C# is here not, it doesn't fit to JavaScript. So here we use promises, for example. So they really mapped it that it feels natural for the developer to use it. And as I mentioned, there are a few limitations which you should be aware of. for example, the alert is not working, or if you want to create some jQuery elements based on a string, then the problem is that WinRT doesn't allow you to do that, because this string could come from a web service call or so, which is potentially unsafe. So if there are limitations, then it's typically based on due to some security restrictions. But most libraries like jQuery, Knockout.js, or whatever, you can use it without many problems for Windows 8 store applications. About Expression Blend, I think that executing the JavaScript at design time is really innovative and a cool thing. Because if you would not have this feature, then it would be quite hard to design HTML applications. You would have a lot of round trips, writing something, starting it, looking at it, stop it again. If you develop web applications, most developers really appreciate Firebug or F12 or all these tools from Google Chrome. And if they would not be available, then you would have a hard day. The only negative thing on here is that it's only available for Windows Store apps currently. I hope that it will be available soon for MVC or other just normal web applications, but I didn't heard of that yet. So for me, Expression Blend provides a good mix between support, so it helps you to create elements, but you still have the full control, so you can edit the HTML file, the CSS file, and it always reflects the changes. And it's quite robust. I never broke it. In XAML and C#, it was much easier to break it because of all these extensions, and you create element from C# and it's not executed at design time. So here it works much better. And the device panel, I think, is really handy to switch between the modes, to test it and to simulate it. So Windows 8 is available. Visual Studio 2012 is available, and Expression Blend comes together with Visual Studio 12. You can get it from dev.windows.com. There is also a trial for all of these versions. There is a 90-day trial for Windows 8, as far as I know. So let's get started and have fun. Thank you.